Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me better?
Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I
can hear
you
fine. Better.
All right. I'm about to turn on the program and play the music.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, 39 books.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, give it all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day. Bring into you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our father, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah this day for allowing us to come before you to bring to you his great, holy, and blessed and exalted everlasting words. As we let everyone know that we will begin dealing, teaching the book of the law. This is a great undertaking, even though we teach the book of the law, but it's a great undertaking that we're embarking on because we want to do this straight through. We want to deal with all five books of the law. But to teach the law and to teach all five books, you must have order. It must be laid out in a very orderly, systematic way that I or no one else have the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to be able to do that with. We just can't lay it out like Yahweh would love and desire us to do. As a matter of fact, there's many congregations who focus and deal with the law, and it takes them over a year to deal with it. But we will not take a year to deal with the creator laws because they're too important. And these are things you have to know now rather than later. However, we can't go over all the laws, all the commandments, all the statutes and judgments and testimonies of Yahweh just in our study sessions. So you're going to have to do your own work. You're going to have to study to show yourself approved. But what we can do is help guide you in your study so you can get a dose of how you really supposed to be executing the laws of the Most High before him and in his presence. And what we did, the Creator inspired us to write a study guide that will help you in your study, a very orderly, quick method that you will see in the scriptures, things you must know, laws you must execute and undertake, things you never even consider as the law we're bringing to you. And I can understand why you didn't consider these things as the law because you had never been taught these things. Yahweh said he's well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Without knowing the law, how could you know righteousness? And the beginning is the book of Genesis. This is where we begin learning the law. The book of Genesis is a book that details the beginning of 12 different generations. These 12 generations spans the whole book of Genesis. Some of our people have already begun to receive our study guide on the book of Genesis. And we break it down like this because this is how Yahweh break it down. We'll bring Exodus to you. We'll bring Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But understanding these generations will provide an in-depth study of the beginning of the Holy Scriptures. In other words, this is your foundation that you must learn, that you must know, that you must consider if you want to have a close and in-depth relationship with the Most High. Also, these generations will help you to learn the book way faster than you normally will be. So it will aid you in your memorization, and it will create a broad knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. And, of course, the Creator, through divine inspiration, commanded his servant Moshe to record these generations. And as I stated, it is 12 different generations. The very first one is the generations of the heavens. And we're going to deal with the generations of the heavens tonight. We generally will go for an hour, but it may take us an hour and a half. We will see how long it's going to take us to deal with the generations of the heavens. Also, I may add, in dealing with the generations of the heavens, there are six different things that the Creator wanted us to learn about the heavens. Because the heavens, in this generation, the heavens is where Yahweh's throne is. He said, the heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. And imagine this. Think about this. There was a throne on earth, and you had the blessing to be able to approach that throne, that you may stand before the king. You might go before the king. How would you approach the king on earth? How would you approach his throne? Would you bust the door down running in loud? Would you march in with no respect and honor? How would you approach that throne? Or would you go before that throne humbly, quietly, prostrating yourself, bowing down before the king and his throne? Would you wait for him to allow you to speak? What would be your countenance? What would be your words? Would not you be careful with your words? Would you let your words be few? This is just the throne on earth, the king on earth. In other words, any sane person will honor that throne that just a man who made from dust sits on with the highest order of honor and respect. But the heaven is the throne of Yahweh. And not only is the throne of Yahweh, but his throne ruleth over all. And you're going to learn something about these generations that you might not have considered. So the first generation, you read about this first generation in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, the fourth verse. And let's read that so you can know that everything that we're dealing with is scriptures. And it will be the law. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, the fourth verse, it says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that Yahweh Elohim made the earth and the heavens. These are their generations. This is their origin. This is their genealogy. And what is a generation? What is a genealogy? What is an origin? A beginning. A beginning is where you come from. Your origin is where you originate from. Your generation is where you come from. It comes from your genealogy, your gene pool, where you got your start, where you got your beginning. In the first generation, the verse beginning that Yahweh wanted us to know about is the heavens. And, of course, number two is the earth. And why? Because he wants you to see the relationship that you must have with the heavens. And there are certain things, if you don't know about the heavens, then you might find yourself in a lot of trouble. And you might not receive the blessing that you might receive if you had the knowledge of Elohim. And let me show you something about the heavens. First thing I want you to see about the heavens is in the book of Psalms. If you turn there for a second, and then we'll get right into some laws. In the book of Psalms, and we're talking about the generations of the heavens. As I stated before, this is just a guide. If, for those who have not received a guide of the book of Genesis as of yet, just go to our website and you can download it. Or if you can't do that, then send us an email and we can send it to you. And if you can't do that, just send us an email or text. And we can mail you out a hard copy. But if you want it now, we can email it. But watch what this says in the book of Psalms 14. And we're dealing with the generations of the heaven. Psalms 14 and 1. This is what it says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no Elohim. That's what a fool say. There's no Elohim. And oftentimes you don't hear a fool say it out loud. But undoubtedly he's saying it in his heart, because what a fool do, they'll act like there's no Elohim. He's not just saying it in his heart. He will act it out. And it says they are corrupt, talking about the fool. They have done abominable works. They don't care about nothing. And there is none that does good. Watch what it says. Now, this is about the fool. But watch what Yahweh said in the second verse. Yahweh looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, if there were any that seek Elohim. In other words, Yahweh is always looking to see who's seeking him, who's trying to understand things. And Yahweh know everybody ain't trying to understand things. And he know everybody ain't trying to seek him. Therefore, those who are not are foolish. The heavens are the throne of Yahweh. And while Yahweh is sitting on his throne, he's looking down from heaven. upon the children of men. He's looking to see who trying to understand this thing. Seeking me. I'm Elohim. I don't want made this thing. I don't want made them. That's how important the heavens are, because it is a throne, as I see it. If you can't imagine the throne of heaven, at least try to imagine a throne on earth and how you will have to honor that. How you will have to go before the throne on earth. Watch what it says in the book of Psalms, the 11th chapter. The fourth verse. Psalms 11 and 4 says, Yahweh is in his holy temple. Yahweh's throne is in heaven. Eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Yahweh tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loves violence, his souls hate. So Yahweh is in his temple. Yahweh is on his throne, which is in heaven, not on earth. We're not talking about what Solomon built. We're talking about what Yahweh himself built in the heavens. And he's watching us. And he has his subjects, his hosts, his other servants also watching us, interacting with us to see if we really, truly want to understand, to see if we truly desire to seek him. And if you desire to seek the Most High, if you're really trying to understand things, then you got to understand his law. As I stated before, there's six things that I will show you to guide you in your own studies about each generation. And right here is the generation of the heavens. And watch what the scriptures say about the generations of the heavens. You notice on our study guide, not only it lets you know when the heavens, why they call the heavens, but on our study guide, if you have it, it brings the day in which the heavens were made, which is on the second day of the week, together with the day that Yahweh made the lights of heaven. It brings it all together so you can see one whole pattern, the generations of the heaven. And Yahweh tell you what these lights are for. The heavens was made on the second day. The lights was made on the fourth day. And after he made these lights on the fourth day, Elohim saw that this was good because now the heavens are complete. Now they're together. And I did this in 2 days, the second day and the fourth day. And these 2 days have a special relationship with one another. But the heavens, let me show you what the scriptures say about these heavens. Because you can't separate, no matter what day they come on, you can't separate the generations of the heavens. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. Now watch what this says. I want you to see this. In the book of Psalms 19 and 1, we're going to start at the very first verse. The heavens declare the glory of Elohim. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their lying has gone out through all the earth, but it started in the heavens. And their words to the end of the world. In them has it set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit to the ends of it. And there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof. And these are the things that's not hidden from the heat. These are the things that's rested in heaven that Yahweh sends to us that we can approach him, his throne, his temple, in the manner that he considered righteous. And watch what it says. The seventh verse. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. Statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. See, Yahweh wants us to know that heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. So when we approach him, when we go before the heavens, because that's his throne, we got to go before him with the knowledge of Elohim that this is where his laws reside. And I want you to see for yourself, since we're dealing with the generations of the heavens. And as I stated before, it's six things that I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. This is what the law does. It converts you. And most people don't even know when the law actually begins. Let me show you this real quick so you can get a good understanding of what I'm saying. For example, watch this in the book of Proverbs 28. We're talking about the law. And we're talking about the heavens. And you're going to see how the law and the heavens, all this comes from heaven. That's why it says that the heavens declare the glory of Elohim. Day unto day utter speech, not unto night showeth knowledge. What type of speech or knowledge you think is showing? It's showing the law. That's number one. In the book of Proverbs 28, watch what this is. In the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter. And the first one I want you to we're going to read is in the book of Proverbs 28 and 4. Watch how simple this is that a lot of people don't even consider. In the book of Proverbs 28 and 4, it says, it reads, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Who want to praise the wicked but somebody foolish and evil? They praise the wicked. But such as keep the law contend with them. In other words, if you keep in the law, you praising Yahweh, which lets you know the praises of Yahweh is the law. That's how you praise Yahweh. You keep the law. But how do you praise the wicked? You forsake the law. And watch what it says. For evil men understand not just, they don't understand this. They don't understand the repercussions of this. So what they do, they praise the wicked. They don't praise Yahweh. You got people going around talking about all praises. All praise who? Watch what it says. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek Yahweh understand all things. And how do you understand all things? How do you praise Yahweh? What law signifies that you praise in Yahweh? And not only that, in Proverbs 28 and 4, watch what it says in Proverbs 28 verse 9, just show you how it is connected to a law. In the book of Proverbs 28 and 9, it reads, he that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now, why would your prayer be an abomination just by turning your ear from the law? Because if you forsake the law, you're praising the wicked. Now your prayer becomes an abomination. And don't you know that it is law to pray? Most people don't think it's a law to pray. That's a law that you should be praying to Yahweh. Because if you don't pray, how can you praise Yahweh? If you're not praying, then what are you doing? How do you communicate with Yahweh? You communicate through Yahweh through prayer. But since you don't see it as a law, you won't pray unless you're in trouble. You won't pray unless somebody else praying with you. Then you'll think about it and say, okay, I guess I'll pray. But you're not going to praise Yahweh on your own free will. And when do Yahweh praise us? Since his throne is in heaven and earth is his footstool. Yeah, he wants you bowing on earth because you're at his foot. But where do you think he wants your prayers to come to? The heavens, because that is his throne. So when do Yahweh want this to happen? Watch what it says in the book of Psalm 113 so you can see for yourself what Yahweh desires, what Yahweh will is. Oftentimes we just worried and concerned and care about our own will. And we go through the whole day long thinking about self. This is why we get bent out of shape with one another, because all we're doing is thinking about self. But when will you think about Yahweh and his will? And you're going to see Yahweh's will, what he desires, and see if it's consistent. See if you've allowed yourself to be distracted by your own will. In the book of Psalm 113, watch what it says, the very first verse. Praise you, Yah. Praise, O you servants of Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. Second verse, blessed be the name of Yahweh, this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun. And when is that? In the morning. When is that? When the day is breaking. When is that? Early. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Yahweh's name is to be praised. That's when his name, that's when he want to be praised. He don't want you to praise him when you want to be, you want to praise him. I just want to praise him. Well, why don't you start off praising him when he want to be praised? And yes, that's a law. Because prayer itself is a law. How are you going to praise Yahweh when all through the scripture says, praise you, Yah? You don't think Yahweh wore his praise at certain times? He just woke your tail up. And you won't praise him for it? Sure, this is a law. Why do you think the scriptures say, if you forsake the law, your prayer, you praise in the wicked? Because either you're going to praise Yah, or you're going to praise the knowledge and the handiwork of heavens will show you this. Why? Because the heavens are the throne of Yahweh. Watch what the scriptures say in the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Let us turn there. So the law is the first thing. And our people are not praising Yahweh by law. They're not waking up with the mind that I'm waking up to praise my Yah. And I'm going to go into this night praising my Yah. Yahweh already see your mind ain't on him. Watch this in the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the 46th verse. It says, if they sin against you, for there's no man that sins not, we all sin. And you are angry with them and deliver them to the enemy. We in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, the 46th verse. So that they carry them away captives to the land of the enemy, far or near. And of course, as you all know, we're far. We're not near. But we got brothers and sisters that's near. Yet, if they shall return to themselves in the land where they were carried captives and repent and make supplication unto you in the land of them that carried them captive. Now, you see this pattern? Let me read that again. Yet, if they shall return to themselves in the land where they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto you in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned. We have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto you with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, the house which I've built for your name. Watch this. If we do these things, some people don't want to confess nothing, but you got to confess. Most people don't want to return to nothing, but you got to return. Most people don't want to do it with all their heart and with all their soul. They do it with part of their heart and part of their soul. But watch the 49th verse. Then hear you their prayer and their supplication in heaven, your dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Most people want to maintain their own cause. They don't want Yahweh to maintain their cause. So they try to handle things themselves. They try to take matters in their own hands. They will show themselves to be a fool rather than allowing Yahweh to maintain their cause. Watch what it says. 50th verse. And forgive your people that have sinned against you and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against you, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. Who wouldn't want Yahweh to do this? Well, where's your praises? Why aren't you going before the throne of Yahweh, which is the heavens, and kneel before him, pray before him, repent and return to him? And little do people know, this is exactly how you seek Yahweh. You seek Yahweh by going humbly before him. Watch what it says. 52nd verse. That your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and to the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them all that they call for unto you. Yahweh, they're calling unto you. Why? Because they're not approaching you any kind of way. They're not just saying any kind of thing before you. They're not acting any kind of way before you. They actually got sense. This is a law. This is the beginning where you go before the Most High. How can you not know how to go before the throne of heaven? Go before the King of Kings in the proper manner. Just to show you, once again, how this is a law that the mass majority of the people on earth, especially our people, are breaking. Look, watch what this says in the book of Isaiah 24. So you can see exactly why we are the way we are. Isaiah 24. Then we get to the second thing that Yahweh wants us to see. Isaiah 24. In the book of Isaiah 24, the 4th and 6th verse, it says, the earth mourns, Isaiah 24:4. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The holy people of the earth do languish. And why do they languish? The fifth verse. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the law. Well, I thought Israel is the only one that has your laws. Well, yes, Israel is the only one that was given the statutes and the judgments. That is true. But there are universal laws that our people don't even want to know about, don't even want to hear about, and ain't even trying to seek the Most High for. There are laws that come from heaven that it is the law of life. Watch what it says. The earth also defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the law. Changed the ordinance, which is a statute, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. This is what's going on with the earth as we speak, because they have not returned back to the laws of the Most High. I can't share all the laws with you at this moment, at this time, but this is where you got to start. You got to start by seeking the Most High, praying to the Most High every morning and every evening with sincerity of all heart and all soul, if you desire to understand anything. Let me show you this other law. You'll find this law in the book of Proverbs 31. Watch what this law says in Proverbs 31. That the heavens is trying to let you know, that the heavens are speaking to you, trying to show you, trying to get you to understand. The scriptures say you transgress the laws. Let me show you a law that's being transgressed every single day, every single minute, every single hour. And it's in the book of Proverbs 31, and watch what it says. And I'm going to read the 25th and the 26th verse. And this is what it says. Strength and honor are her clothing. Talking about the virtuous woman. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She might not rejoice when she wants to, but she will rejoice in time to come. Watch what it says. And this is key. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. I didn't know there was a law of kindness. Sure, you didn't know it was a law of kindness. And what is kindness? Kindness is mercy. And Yahweh, all through the book, tell us to love mercy. Why do you want us to love mercy? Because He is merciful. There's no one more merciful to him than him. So his desire is that you learn it, because that's how he is. And he made you after his image and after his likeness. In the last scripture I'll show you on this, just show you how merciful he is in the book of Psalms 18, because as I stated before, this is a law. You don't see it as a law, but Yahweh do. If we're not walking merciful with mercy and love and mercy, Yahweh don't want nothing to do with us. Your mercy is your kindness. And you already know people ain't kind today. Not at all. And then this is not a law to them. Watch what this says. in the book of Psalm 18 and 25. All we just dealt with was the one of six things of the generations of the heaven. It says, the merciful. You will show yourself merciful. And with the upright man, you will show yourself upright. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the perverse, you will show yourself shrewd. This is what the Creator is letting us know. If you want the mercy of Yahweh, you got to be merciful. This is how you go before the throne of Yahweh, which is in heaven. Just imagine going before his throne and you ain't prayed and you ain't praised him and you did none of these things. You're not merciful. How do you look standing before the throne of Yahweh? You look like an idiot. In the book, the second thing that Yahweh said in Psalm 19, and I'll read it, dealing with the generations of the heaven, because the heavens declare the glory of Elohim. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. What knowledge? What speech is it trying to let us know? Well, the second thing is trying to let us know, after letting us know the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. Because if you're doing this law, you'll be praying every day, every morning, every evening. You will be seeking him every morning, every evening. But watch the second thing. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. What is the testimony in Yah that will make you so wise and so simple? Well, let me show you what is a testimony. Well, a testimony just means witness. And Yahweh said he was going to have the heaven as well as the earth witness against us. But Yahweh also desired us to have a witness. But what testimony, what did Yahweh want us to see as a witness? Watch this in the law, Deuteronomy 4. Just want you to see this, and I'm going to try to go a little bit faster because I knew I didn't have a lot of time to undertake all these things. This is just too much. In the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, watch what this says. I just want you to see this. In the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, and we'll start reading at the 32nd verse. And this is a testimony. We're dealing with the testimonies of Yah. People don't see the testimony of Yah as a law, but it is. In Deuteronomy 4:32, for as down of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that Elohim created man upon the earth, and as from one side of heaven to the other, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or has been heard like it, did ever people hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? No, they haven't. Or has Elohim tried to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, by a stretched out arm, by great terrors, according to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto you it was shown that you might know that Yahweh, he is Elohim, and there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made you to hear his voice, that he might instruct you and upon earth. He showed you his great fire, and you heard his word out of the midst of the fire. This is a testimony. But what was Yahweh trying to get you to see? Well, since his throne is in the heaven, earth is his footstool, Yahweh wanted you to know that not only I see you, I hear you, I smell you, and yes, I will eat before you. See, Yahweh, he wants you to know these things as a testimony because Yahweh is trying to let you know, I am the true and living Elohim. I'm real. I'm not fake. I'm not false like these other deities that sat before you. The heavens is real. I'm real. And this is what you got to know. So he's got to do things in heaven and the earth to show you that I'm real. And let me show you these things. Since we in Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, let me show you something else. Watch this, Deuteronomy 4 and 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go. Over the joints of possession, you shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, where Yahweh shall lead you. And there you shall serve idols, the work of men's hands, wood and stone. And this is how you can tell Yahweh from every idol and so-called deity and Elohim that's out there. Which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from there you shall seek Yahweh your Elohim. And how do you seek Yahweh? By praying. By your supplication. You shall find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's why the first thing we dealt with, it's seeking the Most High, praying to the Most High. But if you forsake the law, if you don't want to hear the law, then your prayers is an abomination. And Yahweh wanted you to see. He wanted you to hear that he is real and the true and living Elohim. Why do you think the scriptures just ask you? Ask from one end of heaven to the other. Has there been anyone that heard the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire and lived? Why? Because Yahweh wants you to hear. That's the only way you can testify that Yahweh is real. Man, I heard his voice myself. Yahweh wants you to be able to see him. Watch this. In the book of Exodus 24. Well, I just want you to see this. Because this is the generations that are happening. In the book of Exodus 24. And watch what it says. the 10th verse, talking about the elders and the leaders of Israel. And they saw the Elohim of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand, even though they seen him. Even though they heard him, he still did not do anything to them. Also, they saw Elohim and did eat and drink. Because that's a testimony that Yahweh wants you to know. It's a law. That, man, I hear you. My throne is in heaven. I hear everything you're dealing with. I want you to hear me. That's why all through the scriptures it'll say Shema Yisrael. But just like I want you to hear me, I will hear you from heaven. These are testimonies. Yahweh will eat before you, as recorded in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. This is how you know Yahweh is real. So he don't want you playing around under heaven as if he don't exist. He wants you to believe in him, to know that this is my throne. In the book of Genesis 18:1, and Yahweh appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my master, my Yah, if thou hast found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, comfort you your heart. After that you shall pass on. For therefore have you come to your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, net it, make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran to the hearth, fetched the calf tender and good, gave it to the young man. He hurried up to dress it. He took butter and milk and calf, which he had dressed, set it before them. He stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Because not only Yahweh see, Yahweh hear, Yahweh eat, but Yahweh also smiled. Watch what he said in the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter. And why is he doing these things? Because he is for a testimony. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. We know what king we serving. We know what king we worshiping. We know where his throne is. And since it's in the heavens, we're going to bow before the heavens. And we're not going to act a fool under the heavens. In the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 20th verse, and Noah built an altar unto Yahweh and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings upon the altar. And Yahweh smelled a sweet savor. And Yahweh said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. Why did Yahweh? Because he smelled this beautiful thing that was burnt to him. Because Yahweh is real. This is what the testimonies is all about. And they threw out the book to let you know that you got to keep my law, man. I'm watching everything. I'm seeing everything. I'm hearing everything. And if indeed you desire to serve the Most High, you must keep his law, his testimonies, statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and the fear of Yahweh. What's the third thing? We talked about the law. We talked about the testimony. But what did Yahweh say in the book of Psalms, the 19th chapter, about his statutes or his ordinances? Because a statute is an ordinance, and an ordinance is a statute. That's what they are. And look what Yahweh had to say about it. Because there's six different things that Yahweh wants you to know about the heavens. And you will go right into these things and begin to learn his laws, his testimonies, his statutes. In the book of Psalms 19, once again, it says the statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. And how do Yahweh do that? Look, since we're in Psalms, go to Psalms 50 till you see how Yahweh, with his statutes, rejoice the heart. In the book of Psalms 50, watch what it says in the first verse. One of the statutes of Yahweh, the mighty Elohim, even Yahweh has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Well, he called the earth from the rising of the sun. He didn't just tell us to praise him from the rising of the sun. He called the earth. Now, how do we know that this is a statue of Yahweh? Well, let me show you. In the book of Jeremiah 31, and are you adhering to the statute? Are you adhering to these covenants? That the heaven every day is trying to teach you, show you, speak to you, give you knowledge of. In the book of Jeremiah 31, in the 35th verse, 35 and 36, watch what it says. Thus says Yahweh, which gives the sun for a light by day. That's what Yahweh do, by statute. And the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night. That's what Yahweh do, which divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahweh's host is his name. If those ordinances or statutes depart from before me, says Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. And still to this day, our people don't respect these ordinances, these statutes. And these statutes are said to rejoice the heart, and they will. If you rise up as the ordinances of the sun and the moon begin to do their work, and you are in concert with them, lock, stock, and barrel with them, because they praise Yahweh. And I can show you that they praise Yahweh. The only one that's not praising Yahweh. And how do they praise Yahweh? Because the sun do exactly what it's supposed to do. It rises and it prays Yahweh. And then the moon comes out when it's supposed to, praising Yahweh. But not us. Not those who are under heaven. But the sun and moon does, which are under heaven. And they put in the heavens to remind us, to help us, to lead and guide us. But do we do it? Watch what it says in Psalms 136. The seventh verse. To him that made great light, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. the moon and the stars to rule by night. For his mercy endures, they endure forever. And why? Because this is also Yahweh's mercy. Why do they praise him? Because this is Yahweh's mercy. This is his goodness. Watch this in Psalms 148. In Psalms 148, the second verse, I'll start at the first verse. Praise you, Yah. Praise you, Yahweh, from the heaven. Praise him in the height. Praise you, him, all his angels. Praise you, him, all his hosts. Praise you, him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens and heavens and you waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for he commanded and they were created. In other words, this is the law. This is the commandment. This is what we're supposed to do. And these are ordinances of the heaven. And these ordinances are laws that we're supposed to keep. Just one more thing on this is Psalm 104. In the book of Psalms 104, the 19th verse, watch what it says. He appointed the moon for season. Yeah, because the moon knows its set time. The sun knows it's going down because it knows when it's supposed to go down. Why? Because we're supposed to be praising him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun. You make darkness, it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. That's a law. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from Elohim. You don't have to feed them. The sun rises. They gather themselves together and lay them down in dens. That's a law. Man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening. Because once the crooked things are made straight, once you realize Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. And you know what you will be doing? You'll be going from your work, your labor, until the evening. The fourth thing that Yahweh wanted us to see, commandments in the book of Psalms 19, that's also spoken from heaven. Yes, the statutes of Yahweh right, rejoice in the heart, but the commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. And how do it enlighten your eyes? Look, watch this in the book of Proverbs, the sixth chapter. I'll show you how it enlightens your eyes. In the book of Proverbs, the sixth chapter. And see, these things, you're going to see how these things are the law. What these commandments? In the book of Proverbs, the sixth chapter, and we're going to read the 23rd verse. For the commandment is a lamp. No wonder it lights your eyes, because it's a lamp. It guides you. It helps you to be able to see. And the law is light. No wonder the scriptures say to the law, speak not according to this word. It is because there is no light in them. And the reproofs of instruction or the way of life. These are what the heaven is uttering. This is what the firmament is speaking. Day after day, night after night, they're speaking these things to us. And why don't we? Because we don't see the heavens as Yahweh's throne. We don't not look up at the heavens as that's the throne of Yahweh. That's not what we're doing. It says these commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. This is why Yahweh said in the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter. Let us turn there. Proverbs 30. The 5th verse. Every word of Elohim is pure. His word is his commandment. He said he commanded them and they were created. Every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. That's why you don't add to the words of Yahweh. The whole earth is out of course because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, and broken the ever. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, what is a commandment? Do you even know what a commandment is? Well, watch what the scriptures say a commandment is. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, starting at the 20th verse. And when your son asks you in time to come, say, what mean ye the testimony? We just went over the testimony, the statutes. We just went over the statutes, the judgments, which we yet to go over, which Yahweh our Elohim has commanded you. Then you shall say to yourself, we were Pharaoh's bondage in Egypt, and Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And Yahweh showed signs and wonders, which came from heaven, great and grievous, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before Yah. He brought us out from this, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our father. And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our Elohim for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness. That's what the commandments are. If we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim, as he has commanded us. And why did it say before Yahweh? Because Yahweh's throne is in heaven, and his earth is his footstool. Furthermore, just two more things we can get to them. The 5th thing, according to the book of Psalms, the 19th division, since the heavens are speaking to us, uttering things to us. The 9th verse says, the fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. And look how, what do Yahweh mean that the fear of Yahweh is clean? You don't understand what he means by that? Well, let me show you what Yahweh means by his fear is clean. Watch this. In the book of, just show you something real simple. In the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter, Genesis, the 7th chapter, show you what the fear of Yahweh is, how clean it is. Genesis, the 7th chapter, the very first verse, and Yahweh said unto Noah, come you and all your household into the ark, for you have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He's righteous. And watch what it says. Of every clean beast you shall take to you by seven, male and female. Why do you say clean beast? Then he tells you about the of every clean beast, or that is not clean, you take them by two, male and female. What's this clean beast and unclean beast? Yahweh is clean. So Yahweh, if you want to serve Yahweh, you got to know the difference between the clean and the unclean. Because if you know the difference, then You can fear Yahweh because Yahweh wants you to be clean. Because the fear of Yahweh is clean. It's clean. Watch what Jacob said to his sons in the book of Genesis 35. In the book of Genesis 35, watch what it says. Starting at verse 1. And Elohim said unto Yaakov, arise, go up to Bethel, dwell there. Turn to Elohim that appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. Then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Why are you telling them to be clean? Yeah, put away that filthy stuff that Yahweh hates, that Yahweh don't like, and be ye clean. We got to learn how to be clean. And why? Because being clean is the fear of Yahweh. That's what his fear is. In the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter, because being clean is the law. In Leviticus, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, watch what it says. Leviticus 10 and 10. And that you may put difference between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and clean. In other words, we got to show the difference in action, not just in words. And too many of us allow ourselves to be unclean. We're not putting a difference at all. And you don't think Yahweh see this? Did not he say his throne is in the heaven? And he's looking down to the sons of men to see if anybody understands, to see if anybody will seek him? Did not it say in the book of Psalm 51, it said, renew a clean heart. Give me a clean heart. Renew a holy and right spirit unto me. We got to be clean if we desire to fear Yah, because that's what the fear of Yahweh is. It's clean. And the last thing in the generations of heaven is Yahweh's judgment. If you're going to be a judge on earth, see, in the book of Proverbs 29, and I love this scripture here, and we're about to close. It's almost over. I needed to show you the generations of heaven because every day you're going outside acting a fool, not thinking. You just think that heaven is a bunch of clouds. No, that's Yahweh's throne. And you don't think he sees? You don't think he's looking? You don't think he's watching, hearing, listening? In the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the 26th verse, watch what it says. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment comes from Yahweh. Your judgment comes from Yah. This is what you got to know. So when you go outside, when you stand before the heavens, you got to know that judgment comes from Yahweh. And Yahweh's looking, watching to see what you're doing. In the book of Psalms 82, and just a couple more scriptures, and that's it. In the book of Psalm 82, watch what it says. The judgment of Yahweh is true and righteous altogether. In the book of Psalm 82, watch what the Creator says. The first verse, Elohim stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, the Elohim. Who you think that is? That's his sons and daughters. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. And this is what he's telling his Elohim, his sons and daughters to do. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. By judging them like they supposed to know. They should know better. No. You're supposed to help them. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. It's out of course. You can't see that. You're the judge. You should be able to see that everything is messed up. So now do your job. I said you are Elohim. And all of you are the children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O Elohim, and judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. And you're not going to inherit nothing if you can't judge righteously. And if you're not feeding the poor and defending the poor and delivering the poor and the needy, and the fatherless, and the widow, and the afflicted, you're not an Elohim. As a matter of fact, how do you go about doing it? Well, let me show you by law how you're supposed to do it. And you'll read this in the book of Malachi, the third chapter, in which, on record, we know who's doing this and who's not doing this. On record. We know who believed this and don't believe this on record. Watch what it says. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, the sixth verse, for I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, your sons of Yaakov are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says Yahweh of hosts. But you say, where shall we return? Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And then he gives you the answer. In tithe and offering. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And watch what Yahweh say in the 10th verse. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Improve me down herewith, says Yahweh host, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. In other words, if you diligently about this, because your mind is on delivering the poor and the needy, your mind is on defending the afflicted and the poor. And then you're giving your tithes and offer for that purpose. Yahweh said he will pour you out a blessing from the windows of heaven that you won't even have room enough to receive. He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That's what Yahweh will do. And the last thing, the last scripture on this, is in the book of Isaiah 42. Because this is why we're dealing with this. This is why we got to teach the law. This is why we have to bring these things out in the book of Isaiah 42. This is just a guide to get you thinking about what the heavens is all about. We can't go into everything. So this is just a guide. Watch what Yahweh said about his judgment in the book of Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised weed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Brothers and sisters, this law must be magnified and made honorable. This law must be returned back to the earth. Truth must return back to the earth. And the only way you're going to know it, if you understand the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, as well as the fear of Yahweh. And you will know if you begin to study, if you begin to learn the generations of the heavens. And we got 11 more generations to go in the book of Genesis. Till tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do I. Shalom.